Well, I thought about what the Lord's given us today like this. Pull up your chairs to the table because the Lord has some wonderful things for us today. So I want to just look at something that Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 15. And verse 11. In the first 10 verses that in John 15, Jesus has been explaining the concept of life in Him and how we're going to live His life by being attached to Him and abiding in Him and Him abiding in us. So He says all of that, and it is truly the secret of the Christian life, is John 15, 1 through 10. And then in verse 11, He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." A lot of people want the secret, want to know about what joy, how to get joy in their lives. Jesus said, this is how. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." And it's my firm belief that the Christian life, as Christ came to give, the life of God in us is to be the purpose. What God wants to put in our lives is a life of joy. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." This is the reason why I've said, this is the reason why I've laid down these things for you to get a hold of and for you to obey. And the instructions and the words that I've given you are to this end, that my joy might remain in you. I don't believe that the life that Jesus came to give is one that just brings disappointment and sorrow and grief and unfulfillment and depression and loneliness and gloom. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's the purpose of the life of Christ. I don't believe He came to make people dismal and gloomy and sad. But He said here, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." In chapter 17, His prayer to His Father, He said in verse 13, "And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Jesus showed us what brought real joy. I'm thinking of something that He said in Matthew 11. Let's see, is that the one? I'm not sure if that's the one I'm thinking of. I was thinking of one where Jesus said, oh, it's in Luke 10. It's not Matthew 11. It's Luke 10. And let's see. It's about the same thought, but it says in Luke 10 and 21, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit." Jesus had joy. People say He was a man of sorrows, but there were places, there was true joy in Jesus' life. He rejoiced in spirit and said, "I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." I was thinking of how that the revelation of God to the soul brings a real joy. It brought joy to Jesus' spirit when He saw God revealing Himself to His disciples, those lowly, humble fishermen, to see them picking up on what God is and what He can do. He rejoiced. It brought joy to Jesus' spirit to see that revelation. And the revelation of God to you and me will be, it will be the bringer of great joy to your heart. When the Lord, that's been one of the greatest joys in my life, is when the Lord has revealed things to me about Himself and about His kingdom when he has revealed those things to me, that has brought great joy. There's a joy in the discovery of God's kingdom. Matthew, I believe it's 13, talking about the man who found a treasure in the field. Now, this kind of joy that he had when he discovered the treasure, this is going to be what will bring you and me joy in our lives. The discovery of the treasures of God's kingdom. Just think, they're not right out there on the open, but when you begin to search after God and thirst and hunger after God, and then He begins to reveal things to you, it brings real joy to your life. And this discovery of things brings joy. He said here, then, verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof, the joy of the treasure. Here's what he does. He's willing to give up everything. He sells all that he has. He sells all that he has and buys that field. I remember as a child, oh, I loved the thought of hidden treasure. I would walk the alleys back of our house looking for treasures. I would dig in the ground. I would look every... I went around all the time thinking, I'm going to find a treasure. That was my little girl mind was just like that. I remember one time I found a fake purple gem out of probably a bubblegum machine ring. But I found this little purple gem, and I thought I've got an amethyst. And I thought if I found this amethyst in this alley, there is no telling what is hidden in these people's trash in this alley. And so I was constantly going down the alley looking for treasure. I found true gold when I was 11 years old, and I found the Lord. That was the treasure, and I remember the joy that I had in my soul. And the joy deepened as I began to discover the scriptures. I was showing Darren my Bible that I had at age 13. It is marked up. It is creased up, and the pages are torn out. It was during that time in my life where I began to love the scriptures and put them into my mind. And the joy of it, I would write it down. I would say in my diary, this is so wonderful. I would weep for joy of it. Well, that joy is an everlasting joy. He prophesied that in Jeremiah, I believe it's 31. Well, let's see. That's everlasting love. Let me see if I can find the one about the everlasting joy. It might be in Isaiah. Everlasting joy upon their heads is the one that I'm thinking of. It may be Isaiah. I was thinking it was Jeremiah, but then I realized I was probably thinking of the scripture. Probably so. Well, bear with me. Sometimes the things come into my mind and go out just as fast. Yes, that's right. Isaiah 35 and 10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. Now, coming to Zion is a phrase that means when we come to the house of the Lord, to the city of God, which is the church of God. And you come there by way of being saved. So when you're saved, you're coming to Zion, to God's presence and to His dwelling place. That's where the joy is. That's where the everlasting joy is going to be. Another place that talks about God's presence as being the source of our joy. Psalm, is it 16? The 16th Psalm. Verse 11, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. Some people think that people who, if you get nearer to the Lord, then you're going to turn into this mean-spirited, harsh, critical. That's all they ever think of people who call themselves spiritual. And I'm sorry that people get that picture, because the picture you get in God's Word of a Christian who lives in God's presence is this: thou wilt make them full of joy in your presence. In thy presence is fullness of joy. It's an everlasting joy. There are times, let's look at chapter 30, I believe it is. There are times in our life that we do have seasons of weeping and sorrow. But because this is an everlasting joy, here's what happens. 30 and verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. In all of the situations of our life, the joy, this is the secret of joy, that it's in the hope that I'm going to come through this particular situation. This night season of our life is going to end. Nothing lasts forever. We're going to come through this, and weeping may endure for this night season of our life, but joy comes in the morning. Jesus compared this same thing to a mother going through labor, that in the labor there's trial and tears, and one woman described it as a lion and a tiger fighting. But there is trouble, there's a heartache, there's labor, but when the baby is born, there's joy. The seasons of heartache and struggle and labor and toil in our lives, spiritually or in times of trials and times of tribulation, those things are seasons. That's what they are. Somebody said, remember in the moments of your tribulation that it is but a moment. It's just a moment. And then the Lord said, joy cometh in the morning. Another scripture that comes to my mind is Isaiah 12. This is one of my favorites. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. Remember this one in Psalms said, for his anger endureth but a moment. I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One in the midst of thee. The joy of the Lord, he said, will draw water with joy out of the wells of salvation. But when you're in a time in life where you're not living for the Lord, when you know you're not pleasing the Lord, there's no joy there. There's only darkness and dismalness and gloom, and living each day with dread. There's no hope. There's no comfort. It would be sad to constantly live life knowing I'm not doing what the Lord wants me to do. I'm failing the Lord constantly. I'm sinning against the Lord. His wrath is on me. If I died right now, I would be lost. That would be an awful way to live. And that's probably why so many people go about today seeking to cover up that terrible ache and hurt in their hearts. They're living that way. They're living knowing I'm not right with God. But he said, there's a place where you can come to where you can say this. You were angry with me, but now your anger is turned away and you comfort me. And now there's joy. Joy comes from the Lord's presence. Joy comes from discovering the treasure that's in the kingdom. Joy comes from the Lord being pleased with you and the Lord forgiving you. That brings joy in our hearts. Joy comes from Him revealing Himself to us. Joy comes from the hope that we have in our troubles and trials that this is going to be over and the Lord is going to give me a mourning time. M-O-R-N-I-N-G. Mourning after the night. Therefore with joy, He said, shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. I think this Jesus, when He said to the lady at the well, He said, if you knew who it is that asked you of a drink, you would ask Him, and He would give to you living water. And He said, you drink this earthly water, and you're going to thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I give will never thirst again. You'll never go to another well. You'll never look for water after you have the well of the Lord in your life. Jesus said in another place, well, He said, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up unto eternal life. Another place He said that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, He said, out of his belly, he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And John said, this is what he spake of the Spirit, which he would give to his to those that they that believe on him would receive. The Holy Spirit is inside of us, a well of water. And with joy, we draw from that well day after day after day after day. Oh, I thank the Lord for that everlasting joy. It's a strong joy. It's not just something that just leaves when you have trouble. I was thinking of something that Paul said. Let me see if I can find this. I believe it's Ephesians, the first chapter. No, it's not that one. Well, one of them that I was thinking of is Colossians, the first chapter, and verse 11. He said that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. So he's not saying here the Christian life is just going to be a breeze. You're just going to float through and you're just going to be happy and you're just going to have this wonderful emotion. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying when you're strengthened and when you're increasing in the knowledge of God, that you're going to have a joyfulness in your tribulations. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have sorrow. And you're going to have things to suffer. But he said that power is going to strengthen you to have patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. I'm looking for the one where he testified, I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. That's the one I was wanting. I can't seem to find it. Seems like it's at the first of one of the chapters, but yeah, that's it. I was looking in a wrong place. 2 Corinthians 7 and 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulations. The quality of the joy that Christ gives is a strong quality. You'll see this. This is a theme of the Scriptures. He told the people over in the book of, is it Nehemiah? Whenever they had found the word of the Lord and the commandments of the Lord that had been forgotten, and they began to read them, and their hearts were filled with grief and sorrow. After a while, the prophet came to him and said, don't weep and don't grieve, because this is a day of good tidings. He said, rejoice, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's the joy of the Lord that gives us strength to obey His commandments. I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad he gives us a joy inside. One place, I think it was Jeremiah, he said, your words were found, and I did eat them, and your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Jesus' words were meant for that. They're not meant to throw us into puzzlement and bewilderment and grief and gloom, but Jesus' words were meant to strengthen us, to meet tribulations and to obey His commandments. And there's joy in discovering His word and revealing it to us. There's a great joy, and that joy is our strength. He said, I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. And that's why James, whenever he says, when you fall into different kinds of temptations, what did he say to do? Count it all joy. That's why we can do this, is because the joy of the Lord is the strength that we're going to have to go through the temptations. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Joy comes from knowing. It comes from something being revealed to us. It comes from discovery of the treasure. It comes from finding God's word. Joy comes from His presence. It comes from the things that He tells us. It doesn't come from this world. The world didn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. Jesus is the one who is the true joy giver. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And that reminds me of Romans 5, the little process that he describes in Romans 5 is just like this. In James, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, we don't only rejoice in the good things, but he said, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Knowing. See, joy comes from knowing. It comes from an assurance. Knowing something, discovering something, something being revealed to you. It brings a wonderful joy. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. What did he say? The trying of your faith works patience. Tribulation works patience. Patience in the scriptures, as I have seen it defined, means cheerful endurance. Cheerful endurance. Tribulation works, pressure works cheerful endurance. You're better because you've endured. There's something strong in counting it all joy. There's something in that strengthens you when you go through your trials and temptations. It's just a secret ingredient. It's just when you don't count it joy, when you don't get a hold of the Lord's word in your trials and temptations, there's just something missing. It's like going around with a wheel that's supposed to be round and it's square. Ka-thump. And that's how we go through our trials sometimes. But with the joy of the Lord, we've got round wheels to go on. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience works experience, and experience works hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you know something that the Lord wants you to do, instead of going, oh no, I've got to go do this, rejoice and be glad, because the joy of the Lord at knowing His will is what's going to give you strength for obedience. How strong is it? How strong is the joy? What will it take you through? Anybody know what I'm thinking about? What did Jesus go through? Something you and I will probably never, ever endure. the joy that was set before Jesus caused him to endure. That's how strong Christ's joy is. That's the joy that he said. Let's read that. Hebrews 12 and 2. Looking unto Jesus, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What race is set before you today? Did you know that you can look to Jesus, who is the beginning and the finisher of your faith? He'll take you all the way through. The Lord knows the end from the beginning in every one of our lives. That knowledge right there has helped me so many times to know that the Lord knows every step of the journey. He's got the end. Everything has an end. There is a hope in that. There's a hope in that for me. The Lord's going to take me all the way through. And that joy is what helped Jesus. He said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, or counting the shame that he was enduring, being hung naked in front of the crowd, the spitting. I was thinking the other day of the venom that some people can just come out with in language, to just go to another person and just curse them, just terrible poison. You know, that's what they did to Jesus, right in his face. They spit, they cursed, they mocked, they said everything that they could say that was awful and evil. They said that to him, and he just, this joy, this strong quality, the thing that took him through, it wasn't that he gritted his teeth and said, oh, got to do the Father's will. And that's not what will help us either, doing that. But it was the joy that he set before him, that was set before him, that caused him to be able to endure the cross, despise that shame, and now he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It said, for consider him who endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. He said, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Any time your temptations this morning, any of your temptations made you sweat drops of blood? I don't think so. I think we have it pretty easy, really. Jesus was ultimate. He endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. He said, you consider that, lest you be weary and faint in your minds at the troubles that you're having to go through. I would just thank the Lord this morning for that. Now, what was the joy? What was the joy that was set before Christ? He truly went through a night of weeping. There was a joy that came in the morning for Jesus. I love to think about the victory, the joy, the knowing that he had made it all the way and was just about to give up his spirit to God. He had made it through all those moments and hours of intense pain, and he just gave a big heave and said, it's finished. I've done it. He made it. To me, there's just a wonderful, wonderful joy that he must have had even then, in thinking, I made it. I did it. Now the world can be saved. Now the whole world, now the plan of God can be fulfilled. Now God the Father, we understand now what man goes through. We know pain and we know suffering. We didn't know that before. We know humanity. We know sin. We know sorrow and darkness. We know sickness. We know weakness and infirmity. We know grief. We know torment and misery. And now, we can help anyone. I'm just thinking, this is maybe what Christ was thinking. Now I can send my Spirit to every part of the world, wherever there is suffering and heartache and sickness and sin and pain. Now I can send my Spirit. That Spirit will help because we know, we understand, we've been through this. I made it. Oh, I don't know. Some of my thoughts. And to think of the glory of Jesus when He ascended to heaven. He led captivity captive. He triumphed over death and Satan. And everything that had held mankind bondage, He took it bondage. And a wonderful rejoicing. Think about the rejoicing. There's several scenes in the Scripture of rejoicing in heaven. One of them was the creation of the world. It said all the sons of God, the stars, rejoiced together. That's one of the scenes in the Scripture. What's the next scene of rejoicing in heaven that you can think of in the Scripture? Where there was singing and there was glory. Where is that described? Angels singing, Gloria, glory to God in the highest. At Jesus' birth. And I believe that at Jesus' ascension, all the angels of God were singing. And there's going to be the ultimate when we meet the Lord in the air and we are ever with the Lord. There is going to be joy, eternal joy. But you know what? That joy starts right now when you say, oh, I will praise you because you were angry with me and now your anger is turned away and you comfort me. That's where your everlasting joy starts. Right there. It starts there. It grows as you discover, as God reveals Himself to you, as you learn His Word, as you obey, as you go through the trials. That joy never leaves. It gets better. It grows deeper. You understand it more. There's times that it's so deep that you're just quiet and silent with it. It's deeper than just emotions and noise. It is a quiet knowledge that the things that I'm going through are working for me and they're being a blessing to me. There is a joy that can be seen on a sick bed for a person who knows the victory of the Lord. There is a joy in that. And you just look at it and you think, how can you do that? How can you go through that? How can you endure that? And yet, that's the strength of Christ's joy. He said, this is why I've given my words to you, that you might have my joy remain in you. Amen. Thank the Lord.